On this subject, we have a big day coming up. Earth Day is this weekend. And when did Earth Day begin? Let's talk a little history first. It may be hard to imagine that before 1970, a factory could spew black clouds of toxicity into the air or dump tons of toxic waste into a nearby stream. And that was perfectly legal. They could not be taken to court to stop it. How is that possible? Because there was no EPA, no Clean Air Act, no Clean Water Act. There were no legal or regulatory mechanisms to protect our environment. In spring 1970, Senator Gaylord Nelson created Earth Day as a way to force this issue onto the national agenda. And what happened? 20 million Americans demonstrated in different US cities, and it worked. In December 1970, Congress authorized the creation of a new federal agency to tackle environmental issues, the US Environmental Protection Agency. In honor of Earth Day, we have a special guest today. Let me introduce Mariposa de Los Angeles. I personally have gotten to know Mariposa these last 2 months, and let me tell you, she is a person that can really inspire in what she's doing and how she has been doing it for over 30 years, since the 1970s. She's been an active community organizer. She's the executive director of marinart.org and more. Mariposa, you were born in Mexico, moved to Los Angeles at age 8. You work full-time, and in your spare time, you produce a television program at Community Media Center of Marin and support meaningful events such as the upcoming inaugural Marin Earth Day and Green Fair.
Well, yeah, thank you, Mama Guy. It's so nice to be here with you today. And I volunteer. That's what I do. I love to give, but you can't stop me. I will continue doing so.
Where do you get your inspiration?
I'm not exactly sure, except that in 1967, I had, I don't know if you want to call it a vision quest or an epiphany. It was a very shaking and very moving thing for me. And when I came out of it, what I realized that the problem with the world today is there were cannibals. I know that's crazy to say, but suddenly I realized that we're eating our brothers and sisters, that all these other creatures, all these other animals, mammals, even insects, I don't care, are alive. They have babies, they love, they are born, they die, and they're not that different from us. And as it proves today that we are watching this show called Normal Sober, pardon me on that one. And that was one of the things they said, that like an elephant and us have 90% in common in our DNA. So we are really, truly, brothers and sisters. And I just really think that at that point, my epiphany was that if we weren't eating animals, we would be very, very different. We wouldn't be greedy. We probably wouldn't commit murder. We probably wouldn't go to war, and on and on. So that's when it happened. That's when it happened that I decided that the answer to the world's problem was love, and I was going to do that with everything I had, with every fiber of my body. I know that sounds overwhelming, but if you ask Jonah Nichols, who also is helping with this Earth Day, Marin Earth Day, 2017, he'll tell you. He watches me do this, and I'm sure he thinks I'm a little, over the edge, but there you go.
So sounds like we need more people like you. I mean, from what I see, you hold a full-time job, and in your spare time, you're organizing a 2-day inaugural event in Marin, specifically about bringing attention to what's going on with the planet. Can you tell me a little bit about your event that you're organizing?
Yes, it'll be a different kind of Earth Day. We have 11 keynote speakers. A lot of them, maybe most of them, are from the Community Media Center Marin, people that actually volunteer there and have done their own videos regarding climate reality, regarding the environment, and I think they're very learned, very well-rounded people, and they will be the keynote speakers. Also, we're going to be showing a lot of media that we have produced at the Community Media Center of Marin dealing with these issues. And the event is from 11 to 5, and I encourage anyone that can come to please come. And if you know folks that live outside Marin, in other parts of the world, then let them come onto the website, which is marinearthday.org. Also, you can get this on live streaming video, anywhere in the world. So if you tell them that the event starts our time, 12 o'clock, they just have to look at the world time and see what time it comes over there for them. I've already myself informed a couple of people that I know live elsewhere. And make sure that they click the show on. We want everybody to watch, because we think here in Marin, we have information that we'd like to share with you about Earth Day and about all the things that we celebrate and all the things we want to talk about, when we celebrate Earth Day.
Now, community activism and organizing, or facilitating as you like to call it, mm-hmm. is not something new to you. I mean, you've been doing this for many years. Is that true?
Oh, Mama Gaia, I actually started when I was when I was a kid. I couldn't help myself. I organized parades, little theater things, sales, and school. I would help raise money for the teacher that was pregnant and having a baby. I mean, I've been doing this. I think it must be in my blood or something. And the first public event that I did was in 1973. It was called Expo Marin 73, and it was 3 days long. I'm rather ambitious. And I had all sorts of performers and people that were doing like multimedia, or they music or dance or anything creative like that. It was mostly about the creative process of Marin County. And I started with that. And at that point, I think the WCA, I had a little office there. They were sponsoring me. From there, I went on to the Lion's Share, the attic of the Lion's Share, and continued doing it. And then I went to Red Hill, where I had an office, and continued doing it on my own. And then College of Marin for about 7 years, where they sponsored, as a nonprofit. I could do things as a nonprofit at that point, because they were, through their College of Marin, Associated Students of College of Marin, we were able to do that. And then in 86, we incorporated as Marin Artists International Network. And at that point, we continued doing all sorts of events for children and adults. We did 3 years of really successful British pantomime, which was went excellent well. And several other events, lots of different dances. We also did Go Green Marin and God Green Love, which was a dance. So, I mean, I could name dozens and dozens of dances, events that we've either sponsored or help other organizations be able to produce them with our help. And we have, of course, a weekly television show on Community Media Center Marin. It's on Sundays at 9 o'clock. It's called Marin Artist Showcase, where we showcase local artists, basically. And that we have a really good crew that works with us. Again, Jonah Nichols he does all the editing. I'm the production director. We have Charlie Seiler, who's working with us, and also Andy Goldman on these shows at this time. And all of these are volunteer, and various people at CMCM, Community Media Center of Marin, produce shows there. Some of them are really good shows too. If you want to tune in, it's Marin. You could go to marin.tv, you could go to cmcm.tv, or you could find it on Marin channels, Comcast 26 or AT&T 99.
Wow, and a lot of this information I'll be adding to the website too. So you do this mostly out of volunteer efforts, is that correct?
Oh yeah, it's all volunteer. I've never got compensated for any of this, I do it, and I encourage other people to do it, because I think if we all did stuff like this, would be a much better world.
If we all did things on your level, this world would be, yes, on a much better level. I just really want to say thank you for all the efforts that you've been making. And why is this particular event coming up this weekend? I mean, you're putting a lot of passion into this particular event for Earth Day. And I know it probably relates to your experience in the 1970s. Maybe you can explain why this one is especially important.
Well, it's really important because for, I guess it's been 2 years we haven't had an Earth Day in Marin County, and I think we, being Marin and all, we're supposed to be so enlightened and everything, we should, you know, have a production of Earth Day every year. And so it took us a couple of years to do this because we had to find a location that was acceptable that could do this. And I think the time was right, too, with our connection with, again, with our local TV studio here. So that we could actually live stream this to the world as well. So any little piece that we can do with whatever resources we have, we need to do them. And if someone else had been the lead on doing Earth Day, I would have jumped in and helped them. You know, and that's just the way I feel about it. I think it's a very important message at this time. We passed the tipping point, so the scientists say, last year. And that doesn't mean we give up hope. That means we stand up and work harder and do everything we can, you know, to begin to make the repairs from our the pollution and the debris that we've been leaving behind.
What's really interesting about the work that you did in the 1970s that I find also significant is the 1970s was the decade of environmentalism. I mean, that's been called out. That 1970 Earth Day was established. There was a lot of questioning going on with how we were living our lives. I mean, Jimmy Carter even stepped in and said it was the moral equivalent of war to be independent of energy and establish solar panels on the White House, which is amazing to think about that, and 17,000 wind turbines in the state of California. And they knew, they understood. In fact, there's this great book, I don't know if you've ever read it, called Rays of Hope.
Oh, yes.
The Transition to a Post-Petroleum World, written by Dennis Hayes. This was written in 1976, I believe. 1977. And it was published by the World Watch Institute book. And it talks back then about carbon being the number one concern. We knew about global climate change in the 1970s. It's well documented. And after Carter, Reagan stepped in and took the solar panels off the White House. And as I think it was the Wilderness Society, I have this written down, the Wilderness Society leader had said at the time that all of these policy changes are going to have a huge, significant impact on our planet. And I don't know if you listened to the show last week. I had a 13 and 11-year-old kid in here, children.
Oh. I wish, but I'm working.
I know. We all are working. But just a quick message about them. They're 13 and 11 years old. They're the next generation, right? And they're with Heirs to Our Oceans. And these kids are putting themselves out with, you know, other leaders to say, what are you guys doing to our planet? We have ocean acidification, which is a direct result to the carbon. So the roundabout way, coming back to you in the 1970s, what was it like back
then?
Well,
actually, it started before that. Like I said, in 67, I had my epiphany. And, I'll admit, we were flower children. We all were a bunch of nymphs running around thinking we could make the world a much more beautiful place. We thought we could go back to the garden, go up to the mountain, anything to lighten what was going on, which was a terrific, abundance of waste, for one thing. And I think isn't that when the term ugly American came up? I mean, we were just so wasteful, and it all seemed so bad even then. And then in 76, we did the year that book was published, 77, 76, 2 years in a row. I also came up with the Rainbow Festival of Light, because they were having the Kahuatek festival in San Francisco, and we joined together for a big rainbow festival thing that we were all doing rainbow type things. And these rainbow type things had to do, of course, with making the earth a better place. And this rainbow show that we did was free admission. All the artists, performers, everyone performed for free. There was absolutely no pay. And we also had free vegan food up there, free raw candy and watermelon, if I recall, and seasonal, what are they called? Seasons. Yeah, Celestial Seasons brought in free tea, and it was quite beautiful. And the remarkable thing about that, I think it was a really magic show. I mean, extremely magic the way it came off. I passed around a rainbow bucket because we did have to do things like buy insurance, little incidentals that we did have to pay for. And the money that we collected both times came out exactly what we had to pay back. So I don't know anywhere else where you can do a free festival where thousands of people come and have a great time and even get to eat for free. You know, and so that's quite remarkable. It just shows what a person can do when they set their mind. But, you know, it still takes a village. You can't do it by yourself. You got to network. You got to connect with community. It's all about community. I couldn't do this without help ever.
Yeah, well, you're doing a lot for sure. It's pretty amazing to see that. So that was the 1960s, the 1970s. I understand, actually, the end of the Carter administration, that was officially the end of the 1960s spirit.
You mean the whole, before we got back into the materialism and all that we forgot, because that was our cry, you know, in the 60s, that we're being way too material.
Which is a big cry out right now. I mean, we've almost come full circle after 35 years.
Oh, yeah, Mama Gaia, that's exactly right. We got to lighten up. We got to reduce our carbon footprint. There's nothing more important now than that. And, you know, you can start in a small way, like they got the Meatless Monday. That's beautiful. Even here in Novato, not here in San Rafael, but in Novato, they're even doing, in the school system, they're doing Meatless Monday. And you start with little things like that. You go ahead and you carpool. There's no more carpooling. What's going on with that, you know? We're going to have a gentleman come and talk to us about electric cars. We got to think about all this stuff. It might be small, but if we all take these small steps, it makes a huge difference in the end.
Who are the other speakers that you have coming up this weekend?
You know, we have you. You're going to be speaking. And Patty Brightman's going to be, you know, she has, we produce the Patty's Vegan Kitchen, and that comes on every Tuesday at 6 o'clock. But she will not just be speaking about the importance of being vegan, but also she'll be doing a food demonstration. And then, you know, we have Andy Goldman, another one of our members. He's going to be doing climate reality. And then Charlie Seiler is going to be doing something on fracking and reducing our carbon footprint. So we have all sorts of speakers. We even have some comedy, too. Swami Biyanananda will be there. And the way I feel about him, I think even with his comedy, he's teaching us. He's teaching us to look at ourselves. And so that's a real good one. We have six songwriter musicians that have written original music for Earth Day, and they will be performing their songs. Again, Charlie Seiler is going to be doing No Fracking Way, and Coastal Dave Whitney is going to be doing Well, 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 which is a whole song about the water use. And then, let's see, who else do we have? Sergei Sheklaba, who's a Russian immigrant, is going to be doing a song called Save My World. And Jesse Kincaid is going to be doing a song, Alternate Facts. And let's see, who else do we have left? Gareth Loy did the most beautiful music video you've ever seen, and he's going to be performing it there. And that is Mother of Exiles. I don't know why I always forget that one. Doug Adams, that we say Doug Adams, he's going to be doing a song called Compass. So, you know, all these folks have really been focused or centering on creating our artists, because we, you know, as you well know, we have a lot of artists in Marin County, a lot of musicians too, on, you know, how to send this message everywhere to everyone through their music, through their art.
You are listening to Penguin Radio 102.3 FM San Rafael or radio.dominican.edu. I'm your host, Mama Gaia. We're here at Take Back. The universe loves to laugh. We love humor here as well. Oh, humor gets us through life. And right now, I think we need some humor. And here with Mariposa de los Angeles, and we're talking about her upcoming amazing two-day festival, Green Festival, here in San Rafael. And we'll continue talking with her after a short break. Stay tuned. I'm just reaching out to touch you. It's the point of no return.
just realized. I just realized. I just realized. Who am I? Who am I? Who am I?
Energetic, smart, sometimes crazy, but always real. It's happening here on Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu.
Dominican University of California Radio, Penguin Radio, 102.3 FM, or worldwide radio.dominican.edu. I am your host, Mama Gaia. We're here today with Mariposa de los Angeles. She is a ringleader, facilitator, organizer, a Mama Gaia herself. She earns that title on this show of all the things that she's been doing as a volunteer for over 30 years, events that actually help reshape other people's intentions, education regarding earth issues, environmental issues, supporting artists, and so much more. And we are here to get today talking about what we can do as individuals too. Mariposa, we were just talking off air a little bit about taking individual responsibility. And what I admire about your history is you were talking about the 1960s and a lot of the good that came out of that. And then, of course, you laughed and said, well, we were all running around naked. Maybe that's not a good thing to do today.
Yeah, it's a good thing.
Who knows? But there was a lot of good that came out of that time period, too, that maybe we could learn today. You know, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, Jonah just mentioned, too, that rather than being great consumers the way we ended up in the especially 80s and 90s, we were creating. I had a head shop called the Peace Pipe. And all of the stuff was actually made by the hippies that lived up in the hills and, over there by Santa Monica and, all those places over there in San Fernando Valley. And they were all creating. They were making candles, clothes, pottery, you name it. It was being made. The only thing that wasn't made by the people in the surrounding area there was the posters, the big old posters we had back then, the black light posters and regular posters. I had a black light hall there, and the paraphernalia. Everything else was made, handcrafted in the shop, and that. And we were also starting to go on different marches. We got all bused to San Francisco to do that big march where we all marched down the street, go and give peace a chance. And that's where we were at. There was a network. There wasn't, the web wasn't around, but somehow we all connected and we took buses and we slept in church basements and whatever we could do to do this. And as you know, right now we're celebrating also the 50th anniversary of Summer of Love, which quite coincidentally is perfect because it will take love. It will take a lot of love to go where we need to go with this. And you know, love is all about understanding. Love is all about acceptance and being receptive. All of these things. Love is good. Love is wonderful. Love is powerful.
And we need some good love in our lives right now. There's been a lot of anger and blame, and maybe we can shine the light. Maybe California can shine a light on humanity this year. What do you think about that?
All the more reason. You know, we're calling California leads, and I think we do. And I think we need to reflect that. We need to project that. We need to actually share it with the world, that it is possible, there is hope. It's not going to happen immediately, but we can start now. One of the things that we can start with is with ourselves. What can we do in our life? Well, the first thing I can tell you to do in your life, the very first thing I did when I had my epiphany was I stopped eating meat. And the interesting thing is that when I stopped doing animal products, anemia went away. I used to faint. I used to be really, really sickly. And all that went away. It was very interesting. When they checked me out again, they said my blood was just fine. So I don't know. I take it where you will on that one. But that was one of the great big benefits I got. Besides, I think I got healthier and more peaceful and smarter and all that stuff. So we start with that. And don't do it all at once like I did, because you can do it in spurts. Like I said, Meatless Monday, you know, like take one day a week, or just start, not to put that stuff in your basket when you go shopping. I also don't recommend processed foods or too much sugar or flour, any of that. Basically, fruits, vegetables, nuts, and seeds is kind of the best thing. Do that. And also, recycle. There's so many things you can do. Walk, drive. In fact, that's what we're saying when you come to Earth Day at the Centerfell Elks Lodge. We want you to either walk, ride a bike, carpool, take a bus, anything you can. Parking is limited. In fact, parking is limited all over San Rafael. In fact, in most towns in Marin County. So it's always best to, find ways of transportation where you don't have to drive a big old SUV to an event or to class or to work or any of that, right? So we can start there. I think that's probably the most important thing is, not to burn the oil and also not to eat our brothers and sisters, as I said before.
Well, Mariposa, thank you so much for joining our show. I mean, what you're doing, really, if I could pass out a Mama Gaia award, you'd be getting one. And I hope to be doing that actually eventually because, and it's not just about awards, really. It is it? I mean, it's really about what
you... Oh, no, you got to get over that.
Yeah,
you simply got to
right.
get over that. You just got to jump in there and do what you can and enjoy that you're doing that. And, you know, love yourself for doing that and let it go, because it's not about money. It's not about material. It's not about awards. It's not about even recognition. It's just about doing. It's a time to do. It's a time to act right now. And so I want to remind you... I already said that. Okay. I want to remind you that the website is marinearthday.org, and you can make contributions there, because we do have to have a bunch of expenses here. The event is free. It's from 11 to 5 Saturday and Sunday. And the event's free, but if you can make a contribution of $10, we really welcome it. If you make a contribution of $50, we're going to treat you really nice. You're going to have your own VIP room. You're going to have a reserved concert seating. You're going to have refreshments. We're going to love you even more. So think about it, okay? Thank you very much.
And all of this information I'll put up on my website, too, as well as my Facebook page, to help support you guys. Really, thank you so much for all that you're doing, and look forward to this weekend.
Well, thank you, Mama Gaia. And I must say that Mama Gaia is a very wonderful person, soul herself, and she's doing a lot for her community. And she joined our Community Media Center of Marin not too long ago, and we've been even happier ever since. Thank you very much, Mama Gaia.
It's good energy. You need to find your team during these days, so thank you for that.
Well, thank
and thank you.
You
so much for joining our show today.
Thank you.
We're going to take another short break, and we'll be back in just a moment. Thank you. This is Take Back the Universe Loves to Laugh, 102.3 FM San Rafael, or live streaming worldwide at radio.dominican.edu. I'm your host, Mama Gaia. So, boy, isn't it amazing to meet people and know people in your lives who are doing so much for so many other people? And they are among us without ever asking for credit. I mean, that's not what they're in the game for. They're just doing it because they feel the need to do it. Those are the people that I'm trying to bring in on the show here to really show, maybe inspire what we can all be doing. And, you know, we all have a different part of this puzzle to put together in order to challenge, maybe reshape the way that we're living our lives. Because there comes a point in time you really got to recognize maybe we don't got it right. You know, if we are dealing with melting polar ice caps, ocean acidification, and global climate change, then we really have to ask the deep questions of, are we really that smart? Well, Mariposa de los Angeles was certainly one who spent the last 30 years of her life organizing events and doing so much for the rest of us. So, you know, she's a person that I really got to know just these last couple of months, and I watched her and looked at her and I said, wow. You know, you need to share your life story and what you're doing with that time that you have. And here she does, she works full time, and yet she's still able to do so much for the community. You know, and as I was looking at her and watching her, I was thinking to myself, you know, these are the people who need to be more recognized. And what it also brought back to me was this idea about what Jimmy Carter had said in the 1970s. Crisis of Confidence speech. I think that was the speech in 1979, when he said to the American public, people, we are beginning to value more about what people have instead of what they do for others. And there was a cultural shift that was beginning to happen at that stage. We had come out of the 1960s movement, and however you want to judge it, there were some crazy things that were happening, but there was also a lot of good things that were happening, and that was questioning. You know, it was the time of the rise of intellectualism, which went out into the 1970s, which gave rise to the environmental movement, Earth Day, and so much more. And it's funny because I remember my great uncle. I talked about him on my very first show. Now, he was a patriarch. I mean, this guy, He was a patriot. There is a difference. He loved the country. I mean, he was passionate about America. His two brothers had both served in World War II. One had been bombed at sea, nearly lost his life. He was found a month later floating in a boat, skin and bones, almost dead. His other brother left his family for 3 years to serve in World War II. So, you know, that was a time when they were fighting for a country and, you know, were really determined that their country was going to be strong, which is America here. And so for anybody to criticize the country, you know, that probably didn't feel too right. And why am I mentioning my uncle? Because I remember sitting with him. I loved him. I talked about him. He was the crankiest uncle anybody could possibly have. I mean, he was an old salt. He just, you know, but he was also a man who lived with passion, big passion. And he wanted things right. And he was very frustrated if they weren't right. And he was telling me this story about, and this was in the early 80s when he told me this story, about a long-haired hippie who came to his door. And my uncle told me this story, and he said, you know, I had this long-haired hippie come to my door, and his shirt was untucked, and he was trying to get me to sign some Save the World petition. And you know what I said to this guy? I said, you know, get a haircut, tuck your shirt in, go get a real job. This is what my uncle told me. And, you know, the work ethic was so strong that if you were criticizing and you weren't working, well, you know, this was their value. This is how they saw the world. This is how my uncle saw the world. Well, of course, I didn't let my uncle get away with that because I never let him get away with anything. And that was why I adored him, because I would speak my mind with him. And I said to him, and he was probably in his 70s, kind of an old, really thin guy too. And I said, Uncle Bob, that is the meanest thing you could possibly say to a guy who's trying to do something for everybody. And I really got on his case. Well, I thought he would start yelling at me again. I thought he'd kick me out of his house. I really wasn't sure what to expect from him, because I told you before, he was a cranky old salt. But you know what he did? Instead, he got really quiet. He looked out the window, and he looked back at me, and he said, you know what? You're right. And then he got really quiet for the rest of the day with me. Yeah, he was my best friend. And it kind of changed the way he looked at the world, too. You know, he kind of thought he had it right and had his way of looking at the world. And then suddenly he looked at it differently and realized that maybe he didn't have it right. And boy, that's a hard one to figure out when you're in your 70s, isn't it? Well, what I liked also about what Mariposa had shared with us was that this is the time today when we're dealing with big global issues to really look within ourselves of what it is that we can do and how we can contribute. And I mean, isn't that fun? I mean, this is the age of creativity where we get to really think outside the box. Ask ourselves the deep questions of what are we doing with our lives and get creative. I mean, I find that to be really fun. There's a new movie that's playing in San Rafael. It's coming up. Actually, it's coming up this Saturday that I wanted to talk about. I haven't seen it yet, but I plan to see it. And the film is called Tomorrow. And I've been hearing a lot of great things about this film because what I hear is that this is a really positive film, and I like to be positive, even if we are dealing with these big global issues. Because when you think positive, then you can get creative, and then you can find a way to deal with the problem. So the film Tomorrow, which is playing at the San Rafael Theater, and it's supported by the Community Partner Sustainable Fairfax, is a film by, who is it by? The writer Cyril Dion, narrators Melanie Laurent, Cyril Dion. And the way, and the filmmakers, of course, Cyril Dion and actor-director Melania Laurent. If I said that right, I might have said that wrong. But the description of the film, which is great because it's, it's where we need to go. Mahatma Gandhi said, "You must be the change you want to see in the world." And boy, isn't that a bummer, because, you know, wouldn't you rather just blame everybody for doing things that aren't right? I mean, that is so much more fun. You can sit in your chair and say, "Oh, wow, they got it wrong and they got it wrong. And I'm just going to sit here and tell everybody why it's wrong." I mean, isn't that so much more fun? Because you can sit there, you can drink your Coca-Cola, put your feet up and just blame everybody else. But unfortunately, that really doesn't work. And you're just going to become a couch potato. And nobody wants to be that. So you must be the change you want to see in the world. And in this film, the filmmakers travel to 10 countries around the world, obviously, encountering individuals and communities who have taken environmental sustainability into their own hands. And this is a description of the film, but this is where it gets really funny and fun, because listen to this one. From the urban farms of Detroit to an English town that encourages local spending by minting its own David Bowie currency. Okay, now that's just enough to go see the film. There is a town, an English town, that is encouraging local spending by minting its own David Bowie currency. I mean, that is fun. I mean, I want to go to that English town. Or actually, no, I think I want to make David Bowie currency in my own town. Wouldn't that be fun? Also, from a completely sustainable village in southern India to the progressive schools in Finland, they travel to find the making of inspiring differences. Just normal people like you and me are making in the world. I mean, we're talking about some good, solid inspiration here, I'd say. So that is Saturday, April 22nd at 3:30. And if you're not in Marin County, well, you can go check this out on the website and maybe find a screening in your own town. And, you know, and a little talk about filmmakers, documentary filmmakers, because I am one. And I just have to say this because, you know, it's funny. People say, "Oh, you're a filmmaker." And then they add this idea of glamour and, "Oh, you must be rich," and all this sort of thing. It's actually quite the opposite. You know, these people, and I'm going to hand it to Cyril Dion and Melania Laurent. This to get out there and do something and find the money to do it, because that's what you're doing. You're going around and begging people, just like that long-haired hippie asking my uncle to sign a petition. You're out there trying to find money to create these stories and to find these people who are doing amazing things in the world. You know, and oftentimes you don't even get paid for this sort of stuff. Just like Mariposa here, who was talking about all these efforts that she's doing just because her spirit is saying it needs to be done. I mean, that's pretty awesome. It's pretty awesome. And, but yeah, documentary filmmakers, yeah, they're kind of the poor people in the world just trying to do a good thing. And I say that because I do know a lot of documentary filmmakers who are out there trying to do this. And if you're out there, you know that these are people you can support. And these are people who are also sharing with us, just like Heirs to Our Ocean. That was another group. They're out there doing it on their own, looking and scraping money in order to send out good messages to inspire. You know, and you stop and you think about who are the people getting the highlights? Who are the people who are, you know, the heroes that we admire in the newspapers and television and commercial? And I mean, I don't know about you, but I stop and think about this a lot. It's like, gosh, the people who are the trench diggers, the ones who are out there really sharing their spirit and bringing people together, you know, maybe we can recognize them on a higher level or support them. And it all goes back to what Jimmy Carter said in the 1970s, right? When he said, you know, we're beginning to value what people have instead of what they do. It was 35 years ago. It really makes you really look at the world a little differently. And maybe ask the hard question of yourself too, of where can I put my time? Mariposa today was talking about her epiphany about becoming a vegan, which I thought was really interesting, and how when she stopped eating meat, she was just thinking about, you know, what, you know, how her relationship with animals changed. And it's interesting she shared that, because I wanted to share a little story about myself as well, because the same thing happened to me about 3 years ago. You know, I had a lot of different things that were happening in my life, and I just come back to graduate school, and it was one of those midlife crises, maybe you can call it that, whatever it is. But I stepped back from all of it and I said, what is the most important thing in life right now? What is the most important thing on the planet right now? And I really asked myself that hard question, and that was the answer to me. It was life itself. Life itself is the most important thing on this planet. And it was then that I actually started to become a vegetarian as well. And it wasn't so much about cutting the meat and changing my eating habits. It was about thinking about life every time I started to eat a meal and where it came from. And it was like almost like this opportunity to think about it every time. And every time I ate, or any time I, you know, was in a situation where I had to politely decline the chicken or the meat, because it made me think about where that came from. And it was this incredible awakening for me, because I started to realize all the life on the planet, from the smallest polywogs and copepods to the biggest animals, and realizing just how important they all are as part of the planet today. And it really made me think about that on a bigger level. You're listening to 102.3 FM, Dominican University Radio, and I'm Mama Gaia for Take Back the Universe Loves to Laugh. We're about ready to wrap up the show, and I just had a few announcements. Oh, let's see. Next week, oh goodness, this is going to be a fun one. We're going to talk education. Homeschooling parents Marilyn Reyes and Martin Thisner is going to join us to talk about their experience homeschooling their child. And Martin just released his first children's book. Oh, isn't this going to be fun? Tag the Farting Power Plant. I think Tag was a dog, and that'll be fun to hear. That book was just accepted this past year at the Swedish Nobel Museum, and he's going to talk about what it's like becoming a children's book author, and look forward to hearing what Marilyn Reyes has to say about homeschooling her daughter and what that means. Homeschooling's become a big movement. And we're going to talk about some homeschooling parents and why they chose that decision and what it means for them and their child. And we'll get deep with that subject. All right. This is Mama Gaia with Take Back the Universe Loves to Laugh. Coming up next is Chatty Kathy. And she's with a program called Down in the Hollow. And stay tuned for her show starting at 1 p.m. And don't forget to check out our website and learn more about what you can be doing this upcoming weekend for Earth Day. And let's take back our planet. More soon. Look forward to next week. See you then. Straight down the line.